If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Coming up in this special edition to preview the return to racing of the Brother UK-sponsored The Women's Tour. Managing Director Phil Jones reveals that the Women's Tour will present a greater challenge even than the Tour of Britain to our neutral service, powered by Brother UK, in-race support crews.
For me, the dynamics are really going to change here. I think we'll be much more active. My view is certainly it's going to be a much busier Women's Tour than it was a Tour of Britain.
Sophie Wright, a graduate of a Brother UK-sponsored domestic team and now a fully-fledged professional, describes the impact on a British rider of the Women's Tour's huge crowds.
It really does make a huge difference just to kind of see the British flags waving. I just feel very fortunate to have these supporters coming out to cheer you on.
Race director Mick Bennett reveals the vast logistical operation undertaken by the organisers' Sweet Spot Group to protect riders and the public from COVID.
We're still running this with very strict COVID protocols, and teams will operate within their own bubble, and that means a separate floor for each team in each hotel.
And Becky Story, who began this year in domestic races for Brother UK Team On Form, reflects on her meteoric rise to the CAMS Basso squad and a place in the Women's Tour.
I'm really, really excited. The past couple of months has just been a whirlwind, opportunities that I never thought would come my way.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast to preview the Women's Tour. Race organisers, the Sweet Spot Group, have assembled a galaxy of talent for this seventh edition of an event widely regarded as the best organised on the women's professional calendar. And with an unprecedented 26 British riders on the start line, the thousands of fans expected to flock to Britain's roadsides will have plenty of homegrown talent to cheer on too. Brother UK's support for this year's race will reach new heights. Having sponsored the Women's Tour since its first edition in 2014 and served as official print and results partners since 2016, this year will increase our support still further in the shape of the neutral service powered by Brother UK in-race support crews. In this episode, we'll hear from Phil Jones, Brother UK's Managing Director and this podcast co-host, on the additional challenges he and neutral service manager Tony Barry have embraced to build on the success of our crews at the Tour of Britain. Mick Bennett, the race director of both the Tour of Britain and the Women's Tour, describes Sweet Spot's success in establishing a gold standard for the women's sport and reveals the challenges he and his team have overcome in bringing it back to British roads after a year's COVID-enforced hiatus. Sophie Wright, a graduate of a Brother UK-sponsored domestic team, now racing in the Women's World Tour for LABTC Ljubljana, describes the significance of the race to her Italian colleagues and the personal importance it holds for a British professional with few opportunities to race on home roads. And Becky Story, whose meteoric rise has taken her from appearances in the National Road Series for Brother UK Team On Form to her debut in a Women's World Tour race for CAMS Basso, shares her excitement and expectations for the biggest race of her career. The neutral service powered by Brother UK in-race support crews made an impressive debut in professional racing at this year's Tour of Britain. Driver Andrew Brammel compared the step up from supporting top-tier domestic events to driving in the Tour of Britain's race convoy to a footballer moving from a third round of the FA Cup to the Champions League final. Phil Jones, Brother UK's Managing Director and this podcast co-host, naturally took the closest interest in their performance on the road, having been instrumental in the detailed planning phase.
What I really heard more than anything is just the sheer professionalism of the drivers and also the mechanics. And I watched, I think, every single stage I'd recorded the live highlights of them all. And basically I went through the entire race, minute by minute, mile by mile, because I was very, very interested to understand the role of the cars, when they'd be up, what the demands would be and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I did have my sort of 30 times forward wind on the sky at times where the racing was very quiet, but it did allow me to then realise what things were going on. There was an awful lot of gels went out the windows off camera, actually. Equally, the cars were being called up to ask for specific things like time gaps, or to hold pieces of clothing, or for a bottle. Certainly on the stage that I went in, which was the Cheshire stage, I personally handed out a number of bottles, sometimes right at the back of the bunch, because that particular day we were in the second car actually in the convoy. And you can just see why neutral service isn't just a break fix service. It's actually a support car for all elements of the race. That's the commissaires, the riders themselves, as well as the teams. And I think you don't often see that actually on the television cameras. As with all of these sorts of circumstances, confidence grows as the miles go by. I can remember seeing one particular piece on the TV highlights of one of our female drivers, Nicola Barry, you know, her zooming right up to a break. We're probably 6 to 7 inches between her right wing mirror and the handlebar of the rider, holding it steady just while one of the mechanics dropped the window down, had a quick look out. He actually thought he'd spotted an issue before the rider had seen it. And it really was, I think, a great reminder of the high degree of skill these drivers need to have to work in those conditions. Millimeters is the distances sometimes that we're talking about, with riders riding at 45, 50 kilometers an hour with very narrow roads, which can be twisting. And you are the person behind that wheel who has to remain steady and focused and with your eyes on your job in order that it retains that safe environment. So I think with all of the drivers, you know, they really did benefit from, I think, having that full 8 days. You know, they're doing this week in, week out. Of course they are, Tim, in supporting the National Road Race Series here in the UK. But of course, there is something a little bit different about a category race like the Tour of Britain. There is that little extra pressure, that little extra something where they really have to bring their A game. And everybody did, which was great.
The opinion of Mick Bennett is also worth hearing. As race director of the Tour of Britain, as well as of the Women's Tour, Mick held more than a watching brief on the progress of our neutral service crews in Sweet Spot's world-class men's race. How then does he think neutral service powered by Brother UK will fare in the race convoy for the Women's Tour?
First and foremost, I think hats off to Brother Phil Jones and the whole of the neutral service team, because as a result of COVID, our previous Victoria neutral service, which we have a long-standing contract with them, they couldn't travel, or they weren't willing to travel with the quarantine issues that we had in the UK and them coming from Italy. And I think they had events tied up to the Tour of Britain as well, which would have prohibited them leaving the hotel for anything up to 8 days, even with PCR testing. So I think one negative is far outweighed by the fact that Brother Phil Jones had this wonderful neutral service facility, albeit only two vehicles. We run a three-car neutral service as the Pro Series event, which the Tour of Britain was. And I think the guys and the woman rose to the occasion. I think they did a splendid job, given that they probably never operated three vehicles in one race before. To operate three is a very different challenge for them as a crew and a team and a facility, because they had to get all this kit together and different bikes as well to fit the other car. Some of the stages are shorter, so the fatigue of the drivers will be less. Well, I hope so. It will be less. But it could be more intense, because the changing pattern of women's races latterly, the last 5 or 6 years, has really improved. And there tends to be more consistency amongst the level of athleticism within the riders. And I did a short calculation. There's 26 British riders in this race. Some of them, I'm guarded when I say that, may not be used to being in an event at this level and at this intensity. It's a good thing, I think, that they've had the Men's Tour of Britain. They couldn't come in at a worse moment, with due respect to that, as a training phase. So I think they'll be absolutely fine with Women's Tour.
Mick's observation that some of the debutantes might face a significant challenge in competing against the world's best is very interesting, and we'll hear plenty on this topic later in this episode from recent Brother UK on-form graduate Becky Story. Where the two pelotons differ most substantially, however, is in their technical diversity. When it comes to the breadth of wheels and components that neutral service powered by Brother UK will be required to support, the Women's Tour looks set to provide a far greater challenge than the Tour of Britain, as Phil Jones explains.
We were really in touch with Sweet Spot to understand how many teams would be coming, which was 16. We then very, very quickly went away to investigate what group sets they're running, and the super spreadsheet was replicated. And actually, very interestingly, what that's actually told us is the demands on neutral service for the women's tour are going to be very different to the Tour of Britain. In fact, they'll be more demanding. There's a greater variety of wheel sets in play. We actually have to be carrying more wheels than we carried for the Tour of Britain. And I think that in itself creates a slightly more complex technical environment than we experienced previously. Of those 16 teams, we actually have 5 teams running SRAM. That's a lot more than was in the Tour of Britain. You've heard already, we've got 2 running Campagnolo and we've got 8 teams running Shimano. And again, a mixture of rim Shimano and rotor Shimano. So when you do the maths on it all, that actually is 11 different types of wheels that neutral service has to possibly be able to service at the side of the road. I think we need a trailer, Tim, for this one. It's going to be very, very interesting. I think some of the insights that we were able to bring to certainly the people that follow us on Instagram when we did the takeover with Sigma Sports is one of the insights that I was able to bring was when I pointed to the roof of the car. We put red tyres, for example, on SRAM wheels so that when a mechanic jumps out the car and needs to service a SRAM group set, he knows straight away to look for red, that's SRAM. So it may well be that we might put a different coloured tyre on the Campags, albeit, you know, I think they will probably be kept inside the car for the women's tour, with predominantly the SRAM and the Shimano, probably rotor wheels, given priority for when the mechanic jumps out the jump seat.
This year's Women's Tour will underline the race's position as the most respected stage race on the women's professional calendar. Its 16 teams include all 9 UCI Women's World Tour squads, outfits registered to compete in the female sport's highest rank. Sophie Wright, who made her breakthrough with a Brother UK-sponsored domestic team, is now a fully-fledged professional with the Italian UCI Women's World Tour squad Alle BTC Ljubljana, an outfit led by Spanish champion Mavi Garcia and Swiss champion Marlon Roussa. For Sophie, stars like Great Britain's defending champion Lizzie Deignan and the 2 riders who accompanied Deignan on the podium when the 2019 edition concluded in Pembrey Park, that's Katerina Nivedoma and Amy Peters, all of them back this year, of course, merely add to the appeal of the race.
I guess it just gives the race more value when you have these big names turning up, because again, that's kind of how you get more crowds, and this is what we want, really. We want more eyes looking at our racing, because then this will attract more sponsors, more TV time, etc. So having big names is a great thing. It's like hosting an event and having the world's top singers coming along. It just kind of adds value to the event and a bit more prestige, I guess. It makes it a good race to be part of, because if you're racing with the top riders, I mean, you just automatically assume that it's going to be a great event if they're putting it on their calendar. You're not going to go to every single race. We have our specific calendars for the specific races we'll be targeting. It's coming to the end of the season. Some riders will finish their season early, but if you've still got the big names coming to the women's tour at the end of the season, then it just shows that it is a sought after race.
For Sophie, racing wheel to wheel with the world's best female riders has been part of the job since she caught the eye of professional squads with a scintillating ride for Team GB at the European Championships back in 2018. For Becky Story, however, who moved from triathlon to cycling just 2 years ago, and who began this season competing in British Cycling's National Road Series for Brother UK on form, the Women's Tour represents a very steep learning curve.
It's an incredible opportunity, very excited, but when you obviously go through the list of those names, it's incredibly daunting, which I think is to be expected, especially going back to being my first stage race. I mean, what a debut stage race to go for. I mean, go big or go home, as they say. I'm just kind of trying to turn those fears into excitement and just looking at the positives that are going to come out of this experience and just enjoy it. I mean, 6 months ago, if you'd have said I'd be racing in the women's tour, I wouldn't have believed you. I quite enjoy throwing myself in the deep end. That's how I learn best. I feel like you've just got to sometimes. I feel almost in my situation, I'm catching up for lost time. You know, I only joined the sport like 2 years ago. I don't have time to waste. So I'll take any nuggets of information that anyone's willing to give me, any advice, I'll just grasp it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and we try again. I'd say throw me in the deep end and I'll give it my best shot kind of girl.
A glance at the start list for this year's women's tour is enough to confirm that deep ends don't get much deeper in women's professional cycling. While a harder, hillier course might have been better suited both to Becky and Sophie, neither of them would argue that the depth of talent assembled for this year's women's tour is as deep as for any race anywhere. Here's Mick Bennett.
We've got a stellar lineup. It's just amazing. I think the only absence we've got is Anna van der Breggen, who's no longer racing. The field speaks for itself. It'll be an amazing lineup on the start in Bicester. But also the fact that we have 26 British women lining up alongside these stellar riders is descriptive of where the sport has gone. Who thought that we'd have 26 British riders on the start line? I think it's amazing. It just shows where the sport's come to. Would have been lovely to have had Zoe Backstead in the race, now the newly crowned World Junior Champion.
Zoe Backstead, who pulled on the rainbow jersey of World Junior Champion just 3 days before we recorded this podcast, is only the latest in what might accurately be described as a golden generation of British female cycling talent. Brother UK has played its part, sponsoring the teams that provided an early platform to riders like Becky, Sophie, and the hugely gifted Anna Henderson, whose ride for Team GB at the recent World Championships was little short of sensational. But what is the source for this seemingly inexhaustible well of talent? Here's Becky.
I don't think I could pinpoint what's driving it, but then I guess when you just list off the names of those incredible women that we have, you know, what incredible role models for young girls or just people wanting to join the sport. It's all about having somebody to look up to at the end of the day and somebody to aspire to be like. The World Championships race was incredible to watch. We had such a strong Great Britain team of women. Being a cyclist, obviously I'm biased, but I just thought it was brilliant. But I'm sure even not being a cyclist, there's lots of young girls out there or young boys being like, wow, you know, like, look how far women's cycling has come. Just all the role models that we have. How can you not be inspired?
Becky is right to identify the inspirational effect of women's road racing, or indeed any road racing. Professional cycling suffers from economic difficulties as a result of being free to view from the roadside. But what it loses in revenue, it more than recoups in its ability to excite, enthrall, and inspire. Phil Jones saw stage 5 of the recent Tour of Britain from inside a neutral service powered by Brother UK support vehicle, and he reports that the crowds that some had feared would not return after its COVID-enforced hiatus arrived in their thousands. Now he hopes they'll turn out in similar numbers for the women's tour.
It was absolutely bonkers. It really was. I mean, there was hundreds of thousands of people at the sides of the roads. It was incredible. And particularly, I think, around the sprint stages and the climbs, the crowds on the climbs were just wonderful. You know, the noise, the excitement, the fancy dress, all the sort of things that we love to see. It was there. You'd have seen some of the riders really playing up to that, encouraging the crowds as they went through, you know, at the front and in the break. And the crowds were loving it. And I just think that overall, you know, it was, for me, seeing it all come back again was just so good. And I really, really hope that we see with the women's tour, likewise, those same crowds come out. And, you know, normally with a women's tour, you're looking at probably around somewhere in the region of about 300,000 people by the side of the road. It's a very, very significant professional racing event here in the UK, and I want to encourage everybody to get out and see it.
If the scale of the support creates an indelible impression on those inside the vehicles of the race convoy, imagine how much more inspiring it must be for the riders in the peloton. The athletes are unquestionably the stars of this travelling show. Little wonder, then, that the team buses parked in the start and finish towns hold such a magnetic attraction for the fans. Sophie, who views this scene from a seat on the other side of the tinted glass, takes her responsibilities seriously.
I like to kind of take time for the fans, I guess, because you can just inspire one person, then it's great, especially these young riders or whoever. I mean, the fans, they could be 5 years old and they can be 85 years old, but it doesn't matter. Like, we're all sharing the same passion, and that's the great thing with cycling and with this road racing. Anyone can turn up and just stand at the side of the road and cheer, just stand outside their houses. And I love it as well, you know, when you're going past the schools and you just hear this massive roar from the kids, and maybe they go home and they say, today we watched this race come past, I want to get a race bike. It's great to think that we can inspire people, because okay, at the end of the day, we're doing our job, but yeah, this is what we love. And if we can inspire people along the way, then brilliant.
It's interesting to hear Sophie describe the roar that greets the peloton whenever it passes a school. Road cycling's ability to inspire children, and in an age when the pressures on young people are often intolerably high, is heartening. Race director Mick Bennett, who takes ultimate responsibility for everyone participating in the women's tour, from crowds to drivers to riders to moto pilots, can seem a tough operator when the race is on, but even he is not immune to cycling's emotional and inspirational appeal.
What got me into cycling at a late stage when I was 16, 17 was I went out to watch the then Milk Race, and that inspired me, and I didn't really have a bike. And I thought, this looks amazing. And it was the whole day. I very often use the example of a school child getting up in the morning, having prepared their lunch for the day and their parents, and they go, oh, I'm going to school today. I've run a school project. I've designed a jersey, and I'm going to carry that poster at the side of the road and show the riders there. Nobody may not see that poster, but the fact that they prepared for the 1, 2, 3 days prior to going out to stand at the side of the road just to see this whole colourful caravan go by is, to me, it's inspirational. Even to me, when I see them, I just think that child has, the whole day, they've just stood at the side of the road, and you see whole flocks of them all in their school uniforms. So that's been neatly pressed. The teachers are there. There's extra barriers there. And they scream. I wave at them and they scream. They have no idea who's in the car or what it is. But the motorbike caravan goes through, you know, 30 odd police bikes, lights going, sirens going, high fives. And then you wave at the car. It's like being a pop star. It's so uplifting. And I've even forgotten the question. I got so carried away.
Professional cycling has a less sentimental side. The clue is in the title. Professional sport must generate revenue if it's to survive. Road cycling, as a show that offers free admission to its roadside audience, faces a perpetual state of existential crisis. For women's professional cycling, whose growth curve might be mistaken for the steepest alpine climb, the crisis is more pronounced. The ambition of its teams and riders for greater television coverage often collides with the complex and financially motivated world of broadcast rights. This year, the Women's Tour will not receive live television coverage, in contrast to the recent Tour of Britain. For Becky Story, desperate that her sport receives an equal share of the spotlight, highlights are simply not enough.
I think it's incredibly disappointing, to be honest with you. Personally, I think it's a real shame, because that has a knock-on effect on women's cycling as a sport. You know, without coverage, how are you meant to inspire the next generation? They're not going to know about it. Like, coverage is everything. And it is for sponsors as well. You know, sponsors put a lot of money and effort into supporting women's cycling teams. And how are they getting that returned? You know, an hour highlights, that's a highlight. You know, that's not the full race. And I feel like we deserve more than that. I am incredibly disappointed about that. That is a real shame.
Race director Mick Bennett says Sweet Spot shares the riders' disappointment. He blames a UCI regulation mandating 45 minutes of live television coverage for women's World Tour events, and warns that the unintended consequence will be fewer women's races. He maintains that the prime-time slot secured by Sweet Spot for an hour-long highlights package of this year's Women's Tour will offer greater viewing figures than 45 minutes of live coverage during the working day, and maintains that broadcast is still far superior to fledgling technologies like streaming.
Bear in mind that this was a regulation that was brought in by the UCI without any consultation with any race organisers at World Tour level. And when it was announced at the UCI Congress at the end of 2019, there was absolute uproar, because organisers were suddenly forced with, as some have had to do, is to cancel their events and not move on with it, because quite simply they couldn't afford it. It was not our intention. We signed an agreement very early on with Eurosport and GCN to broadcast this live. But the economics would simply not stack up this year. We just could not do this as much as we desperately wanted to. We looked at whether we could stream this event, but there's just not the coverage that you've got in some of the other countries in mainland Europe. And we couldn't have a program that took you 10 minutes to buffer a signal. And so we felt that with the contracts we have with ITV and with other countries around the world to show the highlights program, we had to have sacrificed that just for a 45-minute program. It didn't make economic sense or practical sense. The viewing figures we have far outweigh what we would have had for the live program. You know, we're on at 8 o'clock at night, prime viewing time, and the viewers we get for that, and then it goes out globally for a one-hour program of the closing final 10 riders of the individual time trial. It doesn't make sense. And I think the UCI have to relook at that because other organisers are in uproar about it.
A parallel debate exists around whether women's races are more successful as standalone events, like the Women's Tour, or joint presentations like the Ardennes Classics. Sophie is strongly in favour of standalone races for women and argues that cycling fans benefit when organisers like Sweet Spot spread the action across separate events.
I think that when our races are kind of bolted onto the men's races, firstly, we have to get up at a ridiculous hour. You know, we're eating breakfast at 5 a.m. if we're racing at 8 or 9 a.m. And it's kind of, it almost feels like, right, quickly get the women's race done and dusted, and then now time for the main event for the men's race. That's what I kind of get the feeling of. And of course, you know, they show like the last 30k of the women's race, and then they'll go and show the whole of the men's race. It has positives and negatives, because of course you do have the crowds who are going to be traveling and making the effort to go and see the men's race, so then they think, okay, we'll arrive a few hours early to watch the women. But again, kind of in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh yeah, these crowds are only here because we're like the warm-up act, you know. So having your own standalone event, you know, the crowds are there for you, like to watch the women's race, to cheer on the women, you know, and that kind of makes you feel that you're part of your own event, that you're not a kind of quickly get done in the morning and now time for the main event. So I think it is really nice the women's tour isn't bolted on with the men's tour of Britain. And also it actually gives the cycling fans in Britain, it gives them, it's kind of like having your birthday and Christmas presents all on one day, or you have them at separate times of the year, and it kind of spreads the occasion.
Mick Bennett justifiably claims a leading role for the women's tour, which was launched as a standalone race back in 2014, when the women's sport was far less developed than it is now.
There was a groundswell of support for women's racing in this country, but I think we were the pioneers. We were right at the forefront of that. We struggled to get a sponsor from the beginning, but then Friends Life stepped in and they saw the absolute benefits. Again, I keep going back to the public on the side of the road. Do you judge the success of the event by the public that come out to watch? Do you capture their imagination? Do you meet their needs, if you like?
Despite ongoing debates about the logistics and coverage of the women's sport, there's little disagreement that the women's tour is the best organised of any women's race. From vast crowds to equal prize money to 4- and 5-star accommodation for the riders, many athletes in the Women's World Tour consider it to be head and shoulders above other races, some with longer histories and grander reputations. Here's Sophie.
Equal prize money is another massive bonus. The good organisation, nice accommodation, good food, etc. It all adds up to the kind of whole just encompassing this, yeah, great race. I really think when I talk to the riders on my team, who the majority are Italian, but they do really like the women's tour. They say that it's a very well organized event. You stay in good accommodation, good logistics, and they also especially like British porridge at breakfast time. So maybe that's the reason they come along, actually. It's a 6-day stage race. It's a proper race, and you get the World Tour teams coming along, and it's one of those races, for me, I see it on the calendar as one of the best races of the year. But maybe I'm just being a bit biased because I'm British. But I genuinely think that my Italian team do see it as a very prestigious race and one of the main races on the calendar.
Mick Bennett is comfortable talking the talk on the quality of experience the Women's Tour provides to its teams and riders, secure in the knowledge that his race walks the walk.
The main reason that they come here, riders from abroad, is word of mouth from the other riders that have been here before. We have more prize money than what the UCI set, something like 40,000 euros in prize money. They have increased contracts now, all the teams and riders. We give them 4/5-star hotels. We give them amazing facilities within the hotels. The food is second to none. You know, all the menus are designed by us for the riders. Their teams and officials get accommodated in car parks. We have a team waiting at the hotel for them to arrive. They help them park, plug them into power supplies, give them additional water supplies, extra towels, extra ice. And all of that, as well as facilitating them at a finish, we have changing accommodation for the riders behind the podium, heaters, I'm going to use the phrase marginal gains, but the marginal gains to enable the riders to have the most comfortable within reason facilities in order to race in this country. Coupled with that and the crowds at the side of the road and the adulation that they get, it's off the scale.
The route of the 2021 Women's Tour is compact and largely flat, a six-stage parkour of just 535 kilometres across England's central belt, starting in Bicester on Monday, October the 4th, and ending in Felixstowe on Saturday, October the 9th. For Sophie Wright, a formidable climber, a course with a total ascent of just 4,846 metres offers little opportunity to demonstrate her key skill. But the speed and intensity of a world-class peloton, not to mention the huge crowds expected to line the route, should make the 2021 Women's Tour one to remember regardless.
It really does make a huge difference. I saw on the World Champs in Belgium, I mean, the crowds were just 20 people deep, probably more in places, and the roar from the crowds was just amazing. So the Belgian riders must have just felt such a massive boost of adrenaline. When you're racing anyway, you have adrenaline, but just to kind of see the British flags waving, I just feel very fortunate to have these supporters coming out to cheer you on. Yeah, I just have a lot of respect for them because, you know, they're taking their time to come out onto the roads and support us and just share the passion of cycling, which is just brilliant. And it's lovely to see people at the end, and familiar faces will come up to me and we'll have a chat, and just people on the national domestic scene who I haven't seen for a long time since I used to do nationals, etc. So it'll be really nice as well to catch up with familiar faces and just fans from young and old.
Phil Jones will be far from alone in looking forward to stage 6 from Haverhill to Felixstowe and the Women's Tour's route through an area to which the public is denied access. Even high security military bases, it seems, welcome a bike race.
When I was looking through the route, I was really excited because one of those particular stages, which is stage 6, goes right through the middle of Wattisham Airfield again, which is the home of the Apache helicopter. And the guys from the Army Air Corps will have two Apaches parked right either side of that runway. And the riders are going to go straight through the middle of it. And I just think, you know, this is wonderful, wonderful stuff, because it will make for great television. I mean, it's absolutely awesome. I was lucky enough to go to Wattisham Airfield a few years ago and just see what goes on there. And it generally is a super impressive thing. But I just think even for the riders to sort of be steered into that airfield, the public won't be allowed on Wattisham Airfield. And, you know, it's very, very secure military base, but it will make for an amazing helicopter shot as they fly over and just see these two Apaches with the peloton whizzing straight through the middle of them. That would be exceptional.
Like Sophie, Becky Story is happiest when the road points skywards, but she has a talent for time trials too. Her Women's Tour debut coincides with its first time trial stage, a race of truth on a pan-flat course just a shade over the classic 10-mile distance in the Warwickshire town of Atherston.
I would have preferred, obviously, a few more climbs thrown in there. Although I'm really, really looking forward to the individual time trial, which I believe is the first edition this year in the Women's Tour. That's incredibly exciting. I love a time trial. It brings a whole new dynamic to the race. So it'll be really good to see how I fare against the best riders in the world in that discipline. That's kind of my goal looking into it, is enjoy it. It might not be the course, as you say, I would have designed, but I'm sure it's certainly going to be hard no matter what. I don't think I need to worry about that. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the time trial.
In summary, the 2021 Women's Tour is compact and achievable, both in logistical and sporting terms. It might be described fairly as an addition for our times, as the nation recovers from the psychological and economic scars of COVID. The grand finishes in Whitehall and the stunning climbs of Carmarthenshire, both features of Women's Tour's past, now seem far distant, but surely it's in Sweet Spot's plans to place the riders on bigger stages as soon as circumstances allow? Piers McBennett.
A good question. I haven't really got a direct answer other than that we respond to whatever regions and what venues want us, and then we make a six-day tour around that. Would we like to go back to the centre of London? Yes, we would. But as I said, our paymasters are the regions and the venues. We can only go where we are invited to and welcome to go to. And that's always going to be the challenge. Would we like more days? Yes, we would. But those extra days have to be paid for. We also have COVID protocols now just to add to the burden. And my team here have done a fantastic job in managing our way through this maze of the protocols issued by our government and also the UCI now. So we've got lots of restrictions and we're still running this with very strict COVID protocols, and teams will operate within their own bubble. And that means a separate floor for each team in each hotel. You know, you can't have a team spread over four floors of a hotel. You've got to have one floor. More car parking in the car park, electric supplies, water supplies, and all of that. And the team here do a fantastic job. And they have done so for many years.
We started this episode by considering the technical challenges the neutral service powered by Brother UK in race support crews might face at the women's tour. Given that this is the Brother UK Cycling podcast, it seems only fitting to end on the same topic. After the unqualified success of their Tour of Britain debut, it would be easy for our crews to consider the shorter, more compact women's tour as a simple task. Phil Jones, however, guards strongly against complacency. He warns that the women's tour might even be a tougher assignment.
I think another really interesting characteristic of the women's tour versus the Tour of Britain is in the Tour of Britain, most of the teams had two team cars. So when the break went, they'd have one up the road and then one sitting with the bunch. There were one or two minor exceptions to that where we had like a couple of guest teams come over and they only had one vehicle. So they rely on neutral service a lot more. Now, because of the nature of the women's racing and funding and sponsorship and all of those things, I think we'll see less two-vehicle teams. And so as a result of that, there will naturally be a greater reliance on neutral service to either support riders in a bunch or in a break. For me, the dynamics are really going to change here. I think we'll be much more active on the women's tour. A great outcome for neutral service is we're not needed. That's the best outcome for us in a race, is we are just this comfortable presence that's always there, that if you need us, we're there. But the best outcome is we're never needed, and we, you know, there's no punches, there's no technicals, no crashes to deal with or anything like that. And actually the whole thing just ends up being a nice drive around Britain's roads, frankly. But I think doing a lot of the pre-planning here, my view is certainly it's going to probably be a much busier women's tour than it was a Tour of Britain.
Mick Bennett is another who sees in the women's tour the potential for a demanding engagement for neutral service powered by Brother UK. As race director, it's natural that Mick would identify the athletic component, specifically what could turn out to be a gulf between the superstars of the Women's World Tour and less experienced riders making their debut in a race of the highest level.
If the disparity between the top end and the lower end of athletic performance is something to be guarded against, we could well have neutral service at the back could be anything like 20 minutes to half an hour down on the front group. And that means potentially you could be hitting people that are tired of waiting for the race to pass. And you could well be having roads reopen. As most of the listeners will know, we run a rolling road closure, not a total closure. And listen to the radio, stay on alert, stay focused and concentrate. Because when you don't, and I've done it myself, when you're not concentrating, that front group is on top of you in a blink of an eye.
The 2021 Women's Tour will bring to an end the drought of top-level women's road racing on British soil when it rolls out of Bicester on Monday, October the 4th. Like so many of the things we enjoy, the race was forced by COVID to take a back seat in 2020, but its return this year offers further evidence of the slow return to normality. The opportunity for rising stars like Becky Story to make her Women's Tour debut shows that life never stands still. It's a mark of the fleeting nature of youth and peak athletic performance that, at 23, she admits to having no time to lose. Let's leave the final word then to Becky. Recently graduated from Stirling University with a first-class degree, and still more recently crowned Scottish Road Race Champion, she is the very definition of a young woman in a hurry. Fate has handed her an opportunity at the Women's Tour that she is determined to make the most of.
What makes it extra special is obviously, you know, it's a home race, and that kind of makes it less daunting. I mean, watching the Men's Tour of Britain, that was incredibly inspiring. And I feel really grateful and just excited for the opportunity to play my part in the women's race alongside newly crowned world champion. On the other hand, very daunting. This will actually be my first stage race, which is terrifying because it's a big stage race. I've just come back from the RAS, but unfortunately I was caught up in a crash on stage one. So I never actually got to finish that stage race. So I'm hoping this one will be much better this time round. We'll have lots of team meetings beforehand. I think if we're just looking at the team, a mixture of youth and experienced riders. And I think that is for the likes of people like me who are new to the sport as an opportunity to really soak up every bit of experience and learn from the people in my team, Hayley and Natalie, who have raced at world tour level before. So yeah, just as an opportunity for me to just throw me in the deep end and just learn, and I'll play, you know, whatever role I can just to help my teammates and have a good time, hopefully. That's the main thing as well.
Let's end this episode in our usual fashion with a social shout out. If you want to follow any of our guests, you can do so at the following addresses. Phil Jones is on Twitter at RoadPhil for cycling and at PhilJones40, that's 40, for business and leadership. Sophie Wright is on Twitter and Instagram at SophieKWright8, that's the number 8. Mick Bennett is on Twitter at MickBennett2, and again, that's the number 2. Becky Story is on Twitter at Becky_Story and on Instagram at BeckyStory. All one word, and Story is STORRIE. You can follow the Women's Tour at The Women's Tour, all one word, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we sincerely hope you'll follow Brother Cycling. We're at Brother Cycling on all three channels. Thank you very much indeed for listening, and do please stay safe.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.